You can't imagine the number of people that have had to help me over the past couple of weeks. And what we want to do right now is to pray, and to pray for the message today. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the ability to gather, to raise our praise to you. Thank you for the ability to study your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all of your attributes, your great character, your great love. We look forward, and some of us like me very excitedly, to come and to learn and to give you more praise. We pray today for clarity in the words that are spoken, that they are your words. We pray today for our ears to hear and our minds and our hearts to be renewed and transformed. May each person here receive your word and be transformed by these words in your power. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you are a little one in Kids Connection and it was in any way confusing that you were going out, you get to leave. They may have come and gathered you to help out. So I think they're all where they should be. So we will be on this slide for quite a while, just to help my assistant at the back. And we're going to look at this image. So our message today is salvation as your helmet. We're going to continue looking at the book of Ephesians, and I want you to know, if you are here for the first time, this message in my prayer is that it will be a self-contained unit that you would be able to understand. So if you had not been here previously, if you've not read the Bible, if the book of Ephesians is new to you, that you would be able to follow. And that is the prayer for you today. Salvation as your helmet. This is a wonderful image of what Paul is using. The writer of this book, the Holy Spirit has guided the author of the book of Ephesians. It is a book in the New Testament. It's short, relatively, 6 chapters. It is packed with information for a church at that time. For God's gathered people who have come to know Jesus Christ, whether they were Jew or Greek, Jew or Gentile, they were to come and to learn from Paul's writings who is this Jesus. Now, Paul writes because he's in prison. He's in prison because he spreads this message. The people receiving this message are in Ephesus, present day, northern Turkey. At that time, it was a center of worship. The worship was to a goddess, Artemis, and in the Roman world, it was Diana. This was a place of dark, dark culture. It was a place of economics built on making idols, silversmiths that would make images, handmade images of a goddess, of a temple. It was a place of sorcery and the occult and the magic arts. It was dark. And in that comes the light of Jesus Christ for the Jews and for Gentiles, for these Greeks. And Paul speaks to them as a church, as the word speaks to us as a church, defined as those who believe and are gathered. They believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and they are saved. They have a salvation that has been declared. They believe in Jesus Christ, and they are declared righteous. They've repented of their sins, and this salvation continues as a growing, a sanctification, a growing to come closer and closer to Jesus Christ, and that's what we do as we study the word, as we sing these beautiful worship words, which are God's words, return to him. And there is a fuller, fullest completion to come. So this salvation has a past, a present, and a future, and we exist within this present. And we're going to look at the tensions of it today, and we see a helmet. I could have brought helmets today, but they trivialize. They talk of leisure if I'm riding my bike. I even had a hockey one. I thought it was fairly rough. But even a hockey player and those who may not believe in Jesus Christ said, it is not a helmet of battle. It's a helmet of protection in a sport. So what we're looking at is a helmet. And cinema is helping us out because I'm seeing a lot of this being worn in current culture. So the brilliance of God's word is that there's a metaphor where we see with our eyes, and there's deeper and deeper meaning. And we're going to dig into the deeper meaning and the dimensions of this. This helmet, a picture we have here, but as it's described in Scripture, it's God's helmet. And you, as a child of God, Jesus Christ is your brother and the inheritance that you have, he gives you this. And he gives you this because you need it. So we exist in a culture, a Western civilization that is not like that of Ephesus. In Ephesus, the spirits abound. There is the occult. There is witchcraft. There are gods in a pantheon, small g, many of these. They are images. They are created things. They are things made with people's hands. This helmet here is very difficult for us in a Western civilization where we have come through a period of enlightenment. Not all of us, I realize. There are many cultures within the church, the gathered people of Christ. There are people around the world who know there is evil. There are enemies who are unseen, who are of the spiritual world. We are given spiritual blessings. And Paul tells us that at the beginning of his writings in Ephesians, and we have to hold on to that. So that's one part in our Western civilization that we may have rationalized, we may have sequestered, poo-pooed, we may have mocked the spiritual world. But it is real and it exists. Another thing is that we also have a distaste for battle, for war, and we currently exist in a culture where we might not see these helmets. The people that Paul is writing to, they see this. They see the Roman Empire. They see legion upon legion. They see these helmets. They are oppressed. They are within a culture that they breathe that is all around them, where there is war, where there is a helmet, and where there are spirits. And Paul, with this double authority of God and of Jesus Christ, he's an apostle, a sent one, to teach, to speak, he will explain to them what this spiritual battle is. This is spiritual warfare. Let's look at the next slide. So this is the helmet of the divine warrior. It's not one that you fashion or one that you find. It's not one that you purchase, but it's been purchased for you. In Ephesians chapter 6, which is where we will go today, in verse 17, Paul has a final word about putting on the full armor of God. Today, we're going to look at one of the pieces of this armament. We will look at put on salvation as your helmet. Your thoughts, your mind will be protected by God. Salvation and his divine warrior helmet. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes to those in Thessalonica, chapter 5, verse 8, "But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation." Paul draws on powerful imagery that for the Jews, this is not just what they see with their eyes around them, but they can go to the prophet Isaiah and they will see that God is the divine warrior, and these pieces of armament he wears and the Messiah wears. Next slide. But we need to go back and we need to pick up on what is this evil and where does this evil come from? So I'm going to take you back to Genesis, first book of the Bible, and we'll go to verses 27 to 29. "In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and he said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the animals that scurry along the ground.' Then God said, 'Look, I have given you every seed,'" the bold is Kathleen doing that for him, "'every seed bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food.'" God gives in a superabundance. Next slide. God is more than generous. I want you to note as I read this that he gives of his person, he gives his provision, and he gives protection. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden, paradise, to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned them, "You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." God, in his goodness, offers very clear protection. Sure to die. Remember that. Next slide. "But there is a crafty creature," chapter 3, verse 1. "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made." Remember, these image bearers reign over, have dominion over these creatures. One day, he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees of the garden?" Next slide. No, he didn't say that. "You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." In God's good and very good creation, there has entered evil that seeks murder. This evil is a predator who is sly and begins with a question. Next slide. The crafty creature actually moves to a next step of contradiction. This is bold. God said, "If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." But the human is listening and hearing, "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. In these slides, I've added a brain exposed, and these words are entering. Next slide. This crafty creature then uses deception. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The words of this serpent are absurd. That you couldn't eat of any of the trees in the garden? Absurd. This is absurd, and in the craft of the writing, these humans are already like God. They are the image bearers of God. God gave them his image. This is absurd, but it is the way of the devil, of Satan. It is in the mix of words, this confusion and deception. Next slide. "Then the Lord said to the serpent," because it's tragic that the fruit was eaten. He said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed. More than all the animals, domestic and wild, you will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He, the offspring of the woman, will strike your head and you will strike his heel." I've had the wonderful pleasure of learning Hebrew. I'm still kind of a kindergarten Hebrew person. But I looked up strike because I wanted to know if the force was equal. The force is equal. It's the same word. It's a different strike, though, to a different anatomical part, a head or a heel. Next slide. The strike to the head is the death of death. But what we need to understand is that the strike to the heel is not a lesser strike. It's a different place. And this is the world with which Christ entered. And I only selected some words that describe the striking of this evil in only the last week of Christ. You could look over his entire life and gather more. What occurred? Betrayal, scoffing, spitting, beating, humiliation, crucifixion, and death. But a death with burial, resurrection, and exaltation to the right hand of God, where there is death of death. Next slide. So what do we learn about Jesus? There is more. If we go to the prophet Isaiah, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch, capital B, bearing fruit from the old root. We're tracking the offspring of the woman, waiting for the offspring who will strike the head. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Here's what we learn about the Lord Jesus. These are also the words that Paul used for the humanity believing in Christ, turning from an old humanity in sin and death to the new humanity. Believers in Jesus Christ are given an overabundance of spiritual blessings, these blessings. And with our discussion of helmet, knowledge, counsel, and the fear of the Lord. We're going to keep these in mind. Next slide. Continues in Isaiah. He will delight in obeying the Lord. That's the Lord God, and he doing the delighting is Jesus. He will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. Others of the seed of the woman did those things. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. The images that Paul will use, and the Hebrews, the Jews will understand, this is armament that this Jesus is wearing. Next slide. The divine warrior, the Lord God. Let's look at his ornament, our armaments. The Lord looked and was pleased to find, was displeased. Let's start again. The Lord looked and was displeased to find that there was no justice. He was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed. So he himself stepped in to save them with his strong arm, and his justice sustained him. He put on righteousness as his body armor, that's justice, and placed the helmet of salvation, he gives salvation, on his head. He clothed himself with a robe of vengeance, and he wrapped himself in a cloak of divine passion. Next slide. He will repay his enemies for their evil deeds. His fury will fall on his foes. He will pay them back even to the ends of the earth. In the West, people will respect the name of the Lord. In the East, they will glorify him. For he will come like a raging flood tide, driven by the breath of the Lord. What we learn is that there is armament worn by the Lord God, creator of the universe, Lord of Israel and Israel's armies, and also the Messiah. And Paul brings these together to tell the Ephesians and to tell us, to tell the church gathered, the faithful in Jesus Christ. Next slide. The Redeemer will come to Jerusalem to buy back those in Israel who have turned from their sins, says the Lord. There is a debt that cannot be paid, but can be paid by the capital R Redeemer, Jesus. And this is my covenant. This is binding and sure. This is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them, and neither will these words I have given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children, and your children's children forever. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is true and sure, sealed in the Spirit. And in the beginning of Ephesians, Paul tells people God's plan. They've been given every spiritual blessing. They have believed in Jesus Christ, and they are a new humanity, the humanity that is the image bearers of God. Next slide. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Paul has to make a distinction here with what they see around them and who they are. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God lives because they have closed their minds, hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. In the next slide. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off the sinful nature. It's like clothing that you take off. Throw that off. It's that clutter of words in the brain. Throw that off. Throw off that sinful nature and your former way of life, which was corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on the new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Next slide. This is what we need to remember, and this is what Paul spoke to the Ephesians through the reader of his letter and from his prison. He said, and we're going to use the we so that we get this. And this we is the collective we, it is the corporate we, it is we the church. Okay? In the language of the Bible, it is a you in a language where you can tell if it's plural or singular. So this is for the church, the gathered who believe in Jesus Christ. We are beloved in the beloved. We are redeemed through Jesus our Redeemer. We are among God's holy people in Christ. We possess an inheritance and identity in Christ. We are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing. We are united with Christ and adopted as God's child in Christ. The reason that I've given you two of these, one last week and one this week, you have it with you. Now you have it with you. Within your mind, within your heart, within God's word, and you have it here. This is what must fill our minds and our heart. This is the new humanity, these image bearers of God. Next slide. So we come to the passage that we're studying. And this is chapter 6 of Ephesians, and it is verses 10 through 12 and onwards. Paul gives a final word: be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies. Another word that Paul uses is schemes of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are not fighting against other image bearers. Very clear. But we are fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers of this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. These spirits have such a collection and diversity in what they are. You see that Paul doesn't use one word, but he helps us with multiple words. This is God's power, God's armor, and the evil, its powers unseen. Next slide. First, we have the uniform. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. There is certainty of battle, there is certainty in battle, and there's a certainty that the battle ends. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness, that's justice, and shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. Next slide. And there's armament. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil, all the temptations and the deceiving words. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Christ, the firm foundation, the rock on which we stand, has taken that ground, and there is a call to his people who believe in him to come, to stand side by side, and to stand firm in his armor that he gives. Next slide. So we are called to be God's agents, helmeted to withstand. It's because we exist in the middle of this redemptive story where this evil still exists. It is defeated. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, has done that, accomplished that. He is victor, and he gives us that knowledge, assurance, and all spiritual blessings. The Messiah is victorious. Salvation, rescue, redemption. We stand knowing that, but with this helmet of salvation to assist us in remembering and having this clear mind. Faithfulness in the Messiah is answered with a faithfulness in his rescued captives. That's us. We were captive, and now we are with him, and the armor we wear is his. And in the analogy that Paul uses, it is also most effective, shoulder to shoulder, side by side, as God's armor and as God's people together. Next slide. So we come to standing firm in the middle point of this. We stand rescued, loved, gifted into new life, new humanity in its fullest. We are equipped and we are commissioned. And there is more. There is a posture that we have, and it is prayer. It is a gift that we are given. Paul says very clearly, pray in the Spirit. We are in Christ. We are in the Spirit with these spiritual blessings and this full armor. When do we pray? At all times and every occasion. The predator is unrelenting. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers. And notice the italics I put here. Who is this prayer for? It's prayer for all believers everywhere. Let's look at the next slide. Good. So what we're going to do in closing is pray. As an elder here, prayer just floods the community of the believers in Jesus Christ who are here at Village Green, and for those that we pray will come and join and be part of this, who will come and to read God's word and to come to saving belief in Jesus Christ. Many in our community require great prayer. We all require great prayer. Imagine that we go out and we go into the institutions of this world where the crafty serpent, the evil spirit, exists. I'm a scientist. I can think of things that are observed and tangible and study those, but I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe, even though people would laugh, they might scorn, there is evil, and it pursues us. And we love each other, and we pray for that full armor of protection. We pray for children. We pray for grandchildren. We pray for parents, and we continue in prayer. Let's pray. And the worship team can join us here. Father God, almighty, divine warrior, so gracious in your gift, thank you that we are your image bearers. Thank you that we can have a humanity new, minds renewed, hearts transformed. Thank you that you give us all of you. Thank you that you protect us. Thank you for the victory in Jesus Christ over death. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for each person here, each person who has come to know Jesus Christ, and those that you are working on their hearts and their minds. Thank you that you so graciously give us every spiritual blessing. Thank you for your dear Son. We pray, Heavenly Father, this day and as we go forward, and we know with assurance you hold us fast. And we ask all this in the name of your beautiful Son, Jesus. Amen.